And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good day so far. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. Chase will join us in just a bit. Elijah Campbell manning the board, our Hillside Medical Game Studio. The Miami Dolphins get it done last night in New Orleans against the Saints that just had absolutely no offense whatsoever. The Dolphins defense terrorized Ian Book, making his first ever start, and the Dolphins have now won 7 in a row, so they will come in here to Nissan Stadium on Sunday, winners of 7 in a row. And watching them last night, Willie, they're okay. I mean, I like their defense. There's things I really like. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't watched a ton of Dolphins games this year. I didn't realize Jaylen Waddle was having that type of year. I mean, wow. His fantasy stock is going to be through the roof next year, especially in a PPR league, right? Point per reception?
Yeah.
Man, I didn't realize he was having that type of year.
It looks like they use him a lot like the Rams use Cooper Kupp. There's a lot of quick tosses. There's a lot of those. I don't want to call them cheap, but it's basically a reverse, you know,
sure,
where you pitch it ahead 1 yard. You and I could complete the pass, but it's a catch. So for fantasy purposes, it's great.
Yeah.
But I do think he's the guy that's making their offense go right now. That'll be the guy that I'm sure the Titans will key in on. He and Gesicki, the tight end. You know, it's pretty simple what the Dolphins are doing. It's not anything that's going to light up the scoreboard, but it's good defense and, you know, an offense that is throwing high percentage passes and scoring just enough points to win. And you're right. Maybe Elijah can help us out. I lost track of exactly how many guys. They had at least, what was the number, 18 players?
22.
22 players on the reserve.
Yeah.
How many of the – both tackles on
both
offense?
Both tackles. Yep, they were down to their fourth string left tackle last night.
So that showed. And that showed up.
Unfortunately, it showed.
And you know, you saw Alvin Kamara was very, very frustrated. Kamara, I thought he came within – a couple of times if I just think just flat out giving up, you know, handing the ball over. He was lucky that they blew the play dead.
On the fumble?
Yeah, there were two times where I think he just kind of said, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, you know, luckily for him, the play was whistled dead or his knee was down, but he didn't look like he was giving a lot of extra effort there. Ian Book was running for his life. So it's again, hard to put in context exactly what the Dolphins are doing, but they're confident and they have a formula that's working, and now you have that X factor of what lies ahead for the Titans with the COVID, who's going to be in, who's going to be out, which is, you know, putting a question on every single game that'll be played around the league from now to then. What key players will be out?
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's dealing with. There's no doubt about it, and it's affecting teams. There's no doubt about that, and now we're going to find out, like you said, Predators. The Titans got Predators tomorrow.
Predators,
Titans.
Too.
Well, you're right. So I guess let's hit the local COVID list.
Yeah.
Shall we?
How about that's? This is yesterday's, right? Just keep in mind the day is just starting, so there may be some new names on teams. Yesterday was amazing to watch the Twitter feed from around the country on all the different leagues,
yep,
and the names that pop up. It's a who's who. So this is going. I'm afraid this is going to be an everyday thing for the next few weeks. Guys coming off of the list and guys going on the list.
Let's start with the good news for the Titans. It looks like they're going to get Roger Saffold back in the mix. He has been activated from the COVID list. Elijah Molden also has been activated from the COVID list. So that is two really good pieces of news, two guys that they could certainly use. But with good news comes bad news. Bud Dupree added to the COVID-19 list, which does now maybe paint the picture. When I asked you guys, did it seem like Mike Vrabel really wasn't that interested in talking about Bud Dupree yesterday? Maybe now, knowing what we know, maybe that's why. Maybe he was, you know, not happy that Bud Dupree was about to show up on the COVID list. That announcement was coming, and he knew it, and maybe that's why. I don't know that, but I certainly that was my first thought. When that news came out, like, oh, well, that makes sense prior to our earlier discussion about Bud Dupree and Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel already knew. He was probably pretty disgusted by it. Like, golly, really? You just came back? You're starting to show progress. You're starting to look good. And that's really been the season for Bud Dupree, right? He comes back. He gives you a flash. He looks good. And then he goes away. Comes back, gives you a flash, looks good. You get excited. And he's going to go away. And that looks like it's going to be the case again for Bud Dupree.
Yeah, that's too bad. Now, what I am going to try to find out is if you get put on the list on Monday, is it possible that you could be back on Sunday? Yeah. I think it is, depending on the circumstances and the protocols. I think that it's possible. I don't know that it's probable, but I think it's possible. And I'm not saying that specifically for Dupree. I'm saying for any player that's placed on the COVID list on a Monday. Because I guess it would depend on when you tested positive. I don't know all the particulars on every one, but this is something that unfortunately is a big part of sports now. Like if you like to gamble on the games, I mean, you got to stay on top of this stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it goes right down to the last minute sometimes on guys who get put back on, get taken off, all of this stuff. But it really throws a monkey wrench into what we think. So you look at the Titans, they've got a hot team coming in here on Sunday, the Dolphins. The Titans have a lot to play for. I think certainly if everybody has everybody, even without Derrick Henry, you certainly love the Titans' chances, but I don't know who's going to be in. And the Dolphins are going to face the same thing. Sooner or later, it's going to hit the Dolphins, right? But I was thinking about this too, Darren. We brought this up at the beginning of the pandemic before we saw it. Like, this was before last season started. And we talked about the teams that can keep their players on the field, that can go through the discipline and the protocols to stay off of the list, would have an advantage. But I think it's even more of a thing now because the players are free to go do what they want, right? You can't, like, everything's open. Like, last year, there was still a lot of stuff closed. Even if players wanted to go out, there wasn't a whole lot of places to go.
There wasn't much for them to do. That's right.
Now, you can go anywhere you want, do whatever you want. You can go to a bar, but you're increasing your chances that you're going to bring it back into your locker room. So I do think that is something to keep in mind. Like, which teams can avoid having massive players go onto the list?
Oh, let me just tell you. I listened to Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. By the way, he's a must-listen to every Tuesday. This guy is dialed in. He comes on at 9 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. He is dialed into the league. He's must-listen to radio. He said today, yeah, he's talked to a team where they were frustrated with the players. They had found out the players had all gathered, you know, there was a group of them that went out to a strip club together. And guess what happened shortly after that? Imagine that. And they suspect it was that outing. Another group, big birthday party celebration, they all came down, tested positive. So to your point, right, they're free to – I said this yesterday, right, when we were having this discussion. I'm like, well, all this is fine, but, I mean, if we're not bubbling up, then what are we talking about? Because, okay, you tell the player he can't play – and then he's out at a bar. He's out at a restaurant. He's out at a strip club. They can do whatever they want, and things are open. So, what are you accomplishing? What are we doing here?
And he told that story.
Mind blowing.
Well, there's a lot of levels.
And therefore, you shouldn't be. You know, as much as you, it's like, man. I'm not saying this is always the case. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes I'm sure these coaches are doing this. Like, really? We're in the stretch run. We're rounding third, and we're coming home to the regular season. We're wrapping up. This is critical time. This is December football. And you guys are out doing that? Really? Like, is that how much you care about this team? Like, really? Like, you couldn't wait till the off season?
And I'm sure that's not how everybody that's on this list is getting
it. I know. Right? I'm not painting that picture.
But it does bring in that there it's different now than it was last year. It's very different, of course, with the vaccinations too, right? You're not as fearful that it's really going to hit home because you've got the choice to set up a lot of walls of protection for yourself and your family with the vaccinations and your behavior. But I'm just talking about it strictly from a competitive standpoint. Like, how hard do you work to stay off of the list? There's nothing you can do. I guess you can go back to what you did last year as a team and not sit in the locker room side by side.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I don't know if that's
we're
so fatigued by that. Like, they haven't set it up that way. So, but
you're not going to do that now.
No, but if you can keep it out of your walls, you have an advantage. If you can somehow get through these next 3 or 4 weeks and have limited positive tests, you're going to have an advantage.
Well,
no
I will say this. You know what, Willie, to your point, actually, I shouldn't say that that's not going to happen because you're seeing it happen in college football. The four teams that are left standing that are playing for the ultimate prize in college football, they are batting down the hatches, right? They are absolutely shutting everything down. They're scared to death because they're seeing, you know, you got Central Michigan's playing in the Sun Bowl. That's not the bowl they signed up for. Their bowl got canceled.
Right.
They're like, hey, we'll go to the Sun Bowl and play. What? So these four teams are absolutely doing that. So, you know, I shouldn't say that because if they get to the playoffs, they get to postseason, I mean, these NFL teams may say, you know, I get it, guys. Nobody wants, but we're in the playoffs. Like, and to your point, like the team that maybe can field the most players, they have their most important players available, you know, they may end up making a long run because of that. So we're not going to allow you to do, you know, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. We're going back to, you know, last year maybe. You know, and I don't know how much you can do of that, but you may see teams make changes, to your point.
Yeah, I think certainly for college football, the four teams that are in this thing, I would expect them to take extreme measures. And I would think the players would have to go for that. You know, you play your whole, you know, adolescence to get to this point, try to win a championship. It's worth not leaving the hotel for the next 5 or 6 days so you can play in this game. But I think the tough thing is for the NFL. You've still got a mountain to climb. The team that wins the championship is going to be crowned what day? February the 8th?
It's the middle. No, I think it's a little bit later this year than normal.
So mid-February.
Like, I think it's mid-February.
Okay, so think about it. We're not even to January 1st yet.
Yeah.
So there are weeks of this coming.
February 13th.
So somebody is going to be dodging raindrops and going through this. So how disciplined can your team be? And you can do all the right things and still get hit, you know, with somebody asymptomatic coming in and not knowing they have. There's so many things that can happen here. So let's take the Titans, right? You just mentioned the guys who came back, right? Roger Saffold went on the list right before the game on Thursday, and he's back. So that was 5 days. Molden came off in 7. I think the most you're going to be on there is 10. So there is a chance that you could get. So who was it yesterday? It was Dupree. It was Julio Jones.
Buster Screen. NWI.
So those are four guys that play. You know, those are four guys you would use. You know, we've talked about a lot of those guys individually, but you'd like to have those guys. But are you going to have all four? Odds are no, but could you have two? It'd be great if you got two of them back. I don't know which two. But it all depends on the symptoms, the testing, and the protocols.
Yep. So we shall see. We'll come back. The voice of Alabama, Eli Gold, speaking of Final Four, yes, this Friday. Everything begins. In fact, they'll start playing. That's the first game, right? Is that the first? Yeah, that's the first game. And I think it starts either when we're on the air or right as we go off the air. That's how early this starts on Friday. And so, by the way, there's a bowl game. I think Auburn is playing in about 45 minutes. I'm trying to get the exact time. I think it's like 2 or 2:30. Alabama and Cincinnati play, which is going to be weird, right, to have it. So I'll look that up. I can't find the – of course, it's not behaving. But anyway, we'll come back. We'll talk to Eli Gold on the other side as you listen to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren Donica Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. products curated for life. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you on this Tuesday morning. Chase will be with us a little bit later in the program. Let's say hello and good morning to longtime voice of the Crimson Tide. Eli Gold is on the line with us. Eli, how the heck are you? How was your Christmas? Happy New Year.
It was nice. Good to be with you, Darren. Willie, always a pleasure to be with you guys. It was very nice. Had a good family day. But, you know, I also worked in the morning getting set for the ball game coming up. And as a matter of fact, I'm also going to be in Nashville. I'm doing the national radio for the Titans and the Dolphins this coming Sunday. So a busy week, but it's been a good week.
Okay, so hold on. That you just answered. I was like, should I ask this on the air? And because I've been meaning to ask you, I meant to text you. And I was flipping through. I guess it was probably a week or so ago. In the last 2 weeks, I was flipping. I'm watching Red Zone, and you know how they skip around to the games. And I swear, I was like, oh my gosh, is that Eli doing the game? Were you doing a game a couple weeks ago?
I've done stuff. This is my. Gosh, I'd have to think about it. This is probably my 11th or 12th year working for Sports USA, who, of course, is one of the syndicators for the National Football League. So I'll be in town. Kevin Harlan is doing the TV side on Sunday, and I'll be in to do the radio myself. And Doug Plank, you know, Doug, of course, he was the guy after whom the 46 defense was named when he wore number 46. And Buddy Ryan honored him with the name of that defense. So, yes, I'll do the game in Dallas for Bama on Friday, come back on Saturday, and then head to Nashville and do the game at noon on Sunday.
Gosh, I'm so glad you said that. I thought I wasn't losing my mind. I was like, I could have sworn that was Eli I just heard.
Yeah,
but
no,
I wasn't sure.
You're not losing your mind.
Awesome.
You're not losing your mind.
Well, that's debatable, Eli, but not for this one.
Yeah, I bet. You know, it was funny. I was thinking, how do I want to come on the air this morning? And if all three were there, I was going to say, gentlemen, Darren.
Hey, you did that last time. You did that last time. I know.
Yeah. So I put that on hold. But Willie, how you been, man? You doing okay?
Doing okay. If all goes well, Eli, we'll hop on a plane and get back to action here tomorrow against Washington. But you know how it goes these days, man. It is every day. There's twists and turns.
I've been doing the. Birmingham has an NBA G League team now, the farm team for the New Orleans Pelicans, and I'm doing their radio. And, they've put everything on hold here for a week. The season is not going to resume until the 5th of January because so many guys from the G League have been called up to the NBA to fill in for guys who are on the COVID lists. So, yeah, the trickle-down effect, it's impacting everybody except, for the most part, at least Alabama and Cincinnati. Bama's without a couple of assistant coaches who will be with us in time for the game on Friday. But we've been managing to get everybody through everything here healthy as far as the Tide is concerned.
And that's where we're going to start because we've been talking about so much here with the Predators and the Titans. Are they basically now that they're in the, you know, that they're at like Friday. This is their college football playoffs. This is what they worked all season for. Are they taking extra precautions? Are they doing things differently? Do you have any intel on if Alabama's taking a different approach to make sure this doesn't happen to them like we're seeing all over sports?
Well, nothing that they didn't do last year. Of course, last year we had the same issues, obviously, and Bama went on to win the national championship. You know, everybody's wearing masks. They're, you know, doing social distancing as best they can. They're really tightening up the bubble around the team. But as far as being unprecedented, well, it's not really unprecedented because we did a lot of the same stuff last year. But you're right. Once you get to this point, taking nothing from all these other bowls where you know, teams have had to withdraw, pull out, this, that, and the other. You get this close to playing in a national title, and, of course, they've already established that if there's games that are canceled or forfeited, they will not be rescheduled. So you know, you don't want to miss out on a championship because of a COVID issue. The only problem we've got, and everybody for Alabama, 97% of the guys have been not only vaccinated but have their booster. The only two gentlemen, and they too had the shots, but had a breakthrough, were our offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, and Doug Marrone, the line coach. And they've been watching practices through Zoom. One of our former offensive line coaches and interim head coach from years ago, Joe Pendry. Joe was a great offensive line coach. He's been filling in while Marrone has not been able to be on the practice field. But both of those gentlemen are you know, they've been cleared, they've taken their tests, and they'll be traveling in on Thursday, if not tomorrow, to join everybody in Dallas.
I know this is going to come off as a silly question, but you know the history of Alabama football, and let's be honest, there hasn't been a lot of close games. There's been seasons where Alabama rarely plays a close game, so it's hard to know if they're tested, they're battle-tested when it comes to this spot. Well, this team's a little bit different, as you know. They have been battle-tested. They've actually been in dogfights and could have easily come out on the other side with losses, but instead they turned them in to wins. Is there any advantage to that they've played so many close games this year that's really unprecedented? We don't normally talk about Alabama football and close games during the regular season, but that wasn't the case this year. Could that help them moving forward, in your opinion?
It probably doesn't hurt. I did an interview earlier with a station in Houston, and we were talking about that. And I said to the host, I said, you know, it's going to sound bizarre, but maybe one of the best things that happened to Alabama this year was the loss at Texas A&M. That really got everybody back together. It got guys like Will Anderson to stand up. Bama's outstanding defensive player, linebacker, defensive line, whatever, however he lines up. But, you know, he stood up and he said, look, we can't keep playing like this. And then he goes out and has like five sacks the next ball game. That gave everybody, you know, Nick Saban says we had lost track of what it's like to lose because, and if this sounds pompous, I know, and I apologize, but when you win every week, you forget what it feels like to lose. And that loss to the Aggies really was a big-time situation for the Tide. It got everybody back together. You know, the big thing about this year's team, Darren and Willie, is it was so young. You know, every year, and I know, again, this is going to sound pompous, but every year in the draft, Alabama restocks the National Football League. I mean, you know that. It's every week, every year, you know, 8, 10, 12, 13 guys going to the NFL. Well, finally, those numbers kind of caught up. Even though the recruiting was spectacular again, it was a young team. So the approach was different. You didn't have that entire group of veterans to lead the youngsters. So the team has gotten better as they've gone. And yes, the fact that they had the Auburn game and had to pick themselves up off the canvas and win that one in the final minute and then came back the way they did. Look at the offensive line, the way they blocked against the Georgia Bulldogs, who were arguably America's number one defense this year. Plus, of course, you know, Bryce throwing to Jamison Williams, which didn't exactly hurt anybody's feelings. I think it's been a different year brought about by the personnel being young, inexperienced, and so on.
Talking to Eli Gold, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the semifinal coming up 2:30 Central Time down at the Cotton Bowl, AT&T Stadium, Bearcats and Crimson Tide. So, Eli, you had some interesting thoughts there. One thing that jumped out at me, I saw the clip from Nick Saban. You were running the radio show. I didn't hear the exact question, but you talked about the perspective. And sometimes it is easy. It's human nature to almost get spoiled. I guess the question was something along the lines of, why aren't we winning all these games by more points? But I thought it was a great timing.
A gentleman from Selma, Alabama, called into the show with that question. And, that was his question. How, I know we're undefeated or whatever. But how come we're not beating everybody by 40? Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was good timing for Nick Saban to do what he did there. It seemed like maybe for some it was grandstanding, but I can understand the perspective. Like, sometimes you need to be reminded about, how well you have it.
And, it needed to be said. You're exactly right. Everybody's saying, ooh, my, this, that, And, of course, that cut went viral. But it needed to be said. Because this is a very good team, but it was a young team, and it was a team that at times really had to work hard. I mean, four new starting offensive linemen, especially at that time of the season when the question came in, because we had this guy hurt, that guy hurt. You had a couple of guys who were first-year players anyway. It needed to be said. And the coach is sure as heck not bashful. And I will tell you this, there's nothing that comes out of Nick Saban's mouth that is not well thought of and planned. He doesn't just go off like that. So he knew the message he wanted to give. He knew that show, thank goodness, has a lot of listeners, including his own players. They listen. He uses that platform, if you will, as a way to get messages across to the players, to the fans, to everybody. So he knew what he was saying, but it really needed to be said because, it wasn't as dominating a team. I mean, at that point, they were, number three in America, number two in America. So, they weren't playing well enough to be number one, but they were number two. But it needed to be said, and I thought he did so very, very well. The funny thing was, at one point, he came up for air, and I thought he was done. So I jumped in, and I said, very well said, and then he picked right back up again.
Yes, he did.
And kept on going, and I said to myself, whoops, hush up, don't say anything. And he just kept on going. But, I thought he was finished, and he just kept on flying.
It was
See,
good.
Willie,
it was good
that's
stuff.
The difference between me and Eli Gold. See, Eli didn't get his knee slapped. I would have got my knee slapped. For
yeah,
that.
Probably so. But I think Eli was a safe distance away.
True.
Which was good.
We had a visiting media guest, as we always do every week on that show, and he was sitting between me and the coach. So yes, I had a body acting as a buffer if necessary. I could have sacrificed the sports anchor. That's not a problem.
Exactly. So Eli, there's a yearly debate on a team like Cincinnati, right? How legit are they? All of that stuff. Cincinnati's been hearing it all year long. They get in. I'm curious, like when you talk to the Alabama coaches and they scout and they've studied this team, what do they see from the Cincinnati team? How worthy are they?
They're worthy. It's a different, there's a lot of different ways to look at this, and it's probably something that you guys can explore on a daily or weekly basis. There are a lot of people, the Power Five versus the Group of Five. To start with, how do you compare the SEC, the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever? How do you compare that to the American Athletic Conference, Conference USA, the WAC, stuff like that? They're different worlds. But on a one-game basis, anybody in any of that group of five collection can beat anybody in the Power Five. Just ask Notre Dame. I mean, earlier this year, right there in the shadow of Touchdown Jesus, Cincinnati walks into South Bend and beats Notre Dame. Last year, they darn near upset Georgia in the Peach Bowl in Georgia's backyard. They have a talented, talented quarterback. They have arguably the two best cornerbacks in America, in Gardner and Bryant. But the question remains, have they seen an offense the likes of Alabama? And that's where the questions come in. Same thing with Georgia. We all knew how talented Georgia was. A once-in-a-lifetime defense that they had this year. A team that had given up only 88 points all season long. Less than a touchdown a game. And then they face Alabama and give up 40-something. So Cincinnati is very, very good. And on a one-game basis, the Bearcats can beat anybody. Now, how would they fare on a 12-week SEC schedule, a Big Ten schedule, packed, you know, that's an argument for another day and some great fodder for your show. But we're taking Cincinnati very, very seriously. They have two great tight ends, and the tight ends, not just theirs, but the tight end position has always given Alabama problems over the years. So it's not going to be an easy ball game. I think Alabama's the better team. You know, the defensive front for Cincinnati is undersized, but they're very fast. Well, what's the breakdown on that? You know, would you rather be, you know, equal in size and equal in speed, or would you rather be undersized but faster than the opposition's offensive line? That's another area where the game is going to be played out on Friday. So, but nobody is taking this one lightly. On a one-game basis, Cincinnati can beat anybody.
Eli, as we wrap this up, you talked about being here for the Titans-Dolphins game. The Dolphins are going to come in winners of seven in a row. We unfortunately, painfully, had to watch that game last night against New Orleans just because that was the next opponent for the Titans. But what jumped out at me, and I said this to Willie to start the show, is I didn't realize Jalen Waddle was having the year that he's having.
Oh,
I mean, he's
going
to have over 100 catches this year in his rookie season. Could you have, I mean, everybody saw him at Alabama. We know how talented he is. He's a high draft pick, but over 100 catches and the company that he's with doing that as a rookie is, you know, the who's who in NFL history.
Exactly. But you know what? It's a safety valve. It's a comfort level.
Yep.
Let's put it in a better term for Tua because he knows Jalen. They've been together. There's that. The thing I found remarkable is that this is the first time in NFL history that a team has had a seven-game losing streak and a seven-game winning streak in the same season. I mean, the Dolphins of today are not the Dolphins of September and October. So,
I'm looking forward to the ball game come this weekend. Obviously, there's a lot to play for. Both teams are you know, the Titans are doing well in large part. But what are they saying about Derrick Henry? When is he due back, or is he even due back?
Well, they are hopeful. There's been a lot of people speculating that, you know, he could come back. He could be available for the last game of the season against the Texans. Now, that's national media. That's the broadcast booth that's doing the Titans games nationally. There's been a lot of hints.
And nothing on the record for anyone. It's all anonymous sources.
Yeah, he doesn't touch it. I mean, obviously he gets asked, but Mike Vrabel does not touch it. But, I mean, there's a chance he could play in the final regular season game. I doubt it, but, you know, so you're saying there's a chance is, I guess, a line in a movie.
Yeah, I don't know, but it'll be interesting. But, no, I'm looking forward to the ball game. I love coming into Nashville. It's a great atmosphere at Nissan Stadium. And, you know, I'm lucky to know guys on both rosters. So that always makes it a little more special for me just as an impartial broadcaster. I mean, it matters not to me who wins. I'm just looking for a good ball game. But it's nice to know players on both sides. And it's nice to be working, you know. The ultimate bottom line, it's nice to be working.
No doubt about it. Eli, thanks so much for the visit. Happy New Year to you. Enjoy Friday and Sunday here and Friday down in Dallas. And we'll talk to you in 2022. Thanks for doing this.
Sounds good. Thank you. And Willie, tell David Coyle I said hello when you see him. Always a dear friend of mine.
I will do.
He's
I will do.
Be on
in
with
fact,
us
he's
coming.
Yeah, he's coming on with us next hour. We will pass it along.
We'll pass it along.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Eli. That is Eli Gold, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, and we do appreciate him joining us. I don't know what happened there at the end.
Yeah, trust us, breaking. That was Eli. If you only heard the last 2 minutes.
You were like, is this Sticks? Is, Mr. Yeah. Roboto? What's going on? I felt like going, Domo. I mean,
yeah. It's like the synthesizer, happening? Yeah, the robotic voice there. Yeah.
Man, good stuff. It just happened there at the very end.
Everything
was
great until the last 10%, but yeah. Okay. Hey, we'll take it.
What are you going to do? All right. Good stuff from Eli. As I just said, David Poyle will join us at 11:15 for his weekly chat. We will pass along hello to David from Eli. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000. Always the phone number to keep handy because you don't know when things are going to strike. You never know when the heater is going to go kaput. You need some help. Get the Lee Company group out there. They'll get it fixed for you. But also, you can stay ahead of the curve by being on the home maintenance plan for Lee Company. That's what they offer to try to avoid the crisis situation. And how it works is you get the annual checkups, and you get it during the time of the year before you really need the heating unit every day. So ideally, you do it at the end of the summer or the beginning of the fall, and you get that annual checkup. Same thing for your air conditioning in the spring. Same thing for your plumbing system, your electrical system. You get those annual checkups to make sure everything looks good. You never know when things are going to go bad, but you can definitely maybe see some small problems before they become big problems. That's the idea of the home maintenance plan. It works for us in our household. We've had it for several years now. I can't even remember when we first started, but it's going on 5, 6, 7 years now with Lee Company. It's worked really well for us. The home maintenance plan. Ask about it by going to 615-567-1000 via phone. Or just go online at LeeCompany.com. Lee Company is a proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
It is bowl season, as we know. By the way, Auburn and Houston set to kick off in about 15, 20 minutes. And this is going to be your home for all the bowl games right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the football playoffs. That's brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. Tonight at 5:45 on 94.9, Texas Tech and Mississippi State at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, followed by the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, which will be Minnesota and West Virginia. 312 Pizza Company is the perfect spot to catch every game during the bowl season. For a list of games carried right here on 102.5 The Game and 94.9, hit up the website, gamenashville.com/bowl games. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Good stuff there from Eli Gold. David Poyle will join us at 11:15. And by the way, it is a 2:30 kickoff on Friday. So are we doing a show on Friday?
No.
Let's
no,
ask
not.
The program
Chase
director.
Is there. Yeah. Oh, Chase is
yeah,
there.
The program director
Chase,
is
are
here.
We off Friday?
You guys are off Friday, yes.
Oh, God. Bless. You're,
because we're working,
you know,
Saturday.
You're just the man for the job. You
yeah.
Know?
I mean, I thought about it. Wow. And I was like, they got to work Saturday.
Best.
So I have to work Saturday. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Checks in the mail.
Is it?
No.
We do that. We do checks. I thought it was direct deposit.
We're going back. Going back old school. No, maybe not.
Well, no, Elijah and Caroline will be filling in for us
on
Friday. So.
All right. Deal. Heard a little bit of Elijah and Robbie when we were off on Christmas Eve. I may have still been running around trying to get some stuff finished. Just saying.
As most people were.
Classic yeah. Procrastination.
Oh, every year I say it. Not going to do this again.
You know what's funny?
Wrong
answer. Actually had everything done. I was kind of proud of myself.
Really?
Yeah. I was proud of myself. The only running around I had to do Christmas Eve was I ran to the store to get, you know, stuff for cooking. But that was it. Presents were done.
Well, the ultimate Christmas gift hasn't been given to you yet. That's coming from your dad when it's the Titans and the Cowboys. In the
Super Bowl. Exactly. Yeah, no. That's,
you'll have to wait till the middle of February for the ultimate Christmas gift.
That is. I have told so many people that, yeah, you can book that. That's happening.
Like, in two weeks of, man, are we going to have fun on this show for two weeks leading up to that game.
What I want to do, though, is, like, we are going to have, like, with the video stream, the two hats. Like it'll be like signing day. I have to pick a hat, put the hat on.
You going to do what the recruit did for Jackson State and put on – whose hat did he put on at Florida State and then threw it across the room?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah. By the way, that's a bad idea to do
I wouldn't
that.
Do that.
You know, I wouldn't do that.
Because that video is going to come up in 2 years when he transfers to
exactly, that's my point. When he leaves and then he goes, wants to go to Florida State, you
when
know?
Deion
then,
gets named the head coach at Florida State and he goes with him. It's
yeah,
not a
don't,
good look.
Don't do that. Don't sling the hat across. Don't put it on your head and then sling it across the room and then put on the Jackson State hat.
Yeah, so, yeah, the other part is it's not only my dad, but, you know, Floyd would get a kick out of that too. So, I mean, there's a lot of things at play with this whole Titans-Cowboys and the Super Bowl thing. So, it's all good.
Tell you what, we will have our top 10 here this week, and there's going to be some more shuffling. There's going to be a lot of shuffling. In fact...
ton
Let's
of shuffling.
I had the Chargers in the top 10. They lost to the Texans. Chase, your Dolphins in the top 10. They won last night.
Ian Book.
Willie had the 49ers 10. They lost. So there's going to be some moving around.
And not only did they lose, but their quarterback's got some issues now.
Oh,
I'm not sure he can throw the ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, though? Okay, I want to see where you guys go with this. Is that a bad thing for the 49ers?
Well, we'll find out behind the scenes what Trey Lance has been doing. Is he ready to go?
You know what's interesting? I'm going to tell you guys something that...
And I don't think they've completely ruled Garoppolo out, have they?
No,
no
they haven't. It's
up in
He's
the
got
air.
A thumb issue.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I was on that sideline. We were sitting on the 49ers side of Nissan Stadium on Thursday night, and... During the – I don't remember – I don't remember when I saw this, but I looked down, and Trey Lance was warming up down on the sidelines, and I was like, huh, that's weird. Is he just, like, trying to stay warm? Did they show that on the broadcast? I don't know.
I don't remember
Trey Lance
seeing
was
it.
Warm. He was throwing the ball on the sidelines. I caught it, and I was like, huh, is that normal for the backup just to be throwing the ball on the sidelines?
They did not show it on the broadcast. They did not talk about it to my recollection. Mm. I did wonder, though, because I haven't watched a lot of 49ers games, but Jimmy Garoppolo did not throw a lot of spirals throughout the course of the night.
You brought that up yesterday.
I brought it up yesterday. I was like, did he throw a spiral? So I don't know when it happened with the thumb. Did it happen early in the game?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either.
And
I
he mean, was kind of battling through it? Or does he, is this just
tear?
How he throws it? Like, Peyton Manning always makes fun of himself because he didn't really throw the tightest spiral throughout the course of his career. He got the job done.
Well,
you know, so is that just how Garoppolo throws, or was that thumb bothering
him? Well, no. This thumb, these type of injuries with quarterbacks, isn't this typically the throw the ball, thumb gets pelted on somebody's helmet, and that's how that injury usually
you would
happens.
Think. Yeah, or just lands wrong, something like that.
No, I think he could. You're right, but I think it's probably where he was following through, and he hit somebody's helmet. Would be my guess. I mean, that's typically when you see
it definitely
those type
can
of
happen
thumb
that
injuries
way.
With quarterbacks. He's got a UCL tear and a fracture in his thumb. And look, I think a lot of people, and rightfully so, because he did have two really bad picks, and he missed some wide open guys. But, like, making out like Jimmy Garoppolo is just crap, I think is going a little too far. Like, I've heard a lot of people just, like, shredding Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he the best? No. This is what he is. But I will say this. They win games when Jimmy Garoppolo's under center.
Yeah, and his numbers were pretty good. We talked about it with Tim Hasselbeck last week. And I was saying, you know what, if you just look at the numbers, Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 10 guy. Just by efficiency.
Yeah.
But there are those that watch him every week. And remember, we had some interesting perspective from I forget his name.
Bonte Hill.
Gave a great answer on Jimmy Garoppolo. He goes, I love him, but I don't trust him. And then I do trust him. You know, it's that right on the line.
But if you're a team,
because he's not what, and this is what everybody faces.
He's not quite
elite.
Top level. Yeah.
Right. He's not elite. So this is what you get when you don't have the elite guy. It's like the constant frustration of, you know, good week, bad week, or good weeks, really, really bad week. You know, I mean, that's just what you get from guys who aren't elite. So they're dealing with the same thing everybody else deals with in the league that doesn't have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and the elite guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just what you get. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts are not winning because of Carson Wentz. That's not why they've turned their season around. The Chiefs have turned their season around. Now, their defense has gotten a whole lot better, so I'm going to throw that in there. But Patrick Mahomes has also stopped throwing the ball to the other team two and three times a game like he was doing when they lost here. And remember when that Chiefs team was 3-4?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's the last time they've lost.
I went on.
They were 3-4.
I went on in Kansas City yesterday, and I said, did Nashville just awake a sleeping giant? And they all laughed and said, yeah, pretty much, because it's ever since that game, they've been, you know, the vintage Chiefs. Mahomes is taking care of the ball more. They've gone back to being the elite, and they are, you know, the number one seed in the AFC right now. Now, it could still be the Titans. The Titans still have an opportunity to do that, but that's just what it is. But back on Jimmy Garoppolo for a second, if you're a team, let's say Washington, if you're the Washington football team in that fan base, would you not, you know, clamor for a guy like Jimmy G?
I don't know. It's a really good question.
Well,
because
the Saints would be another team. They talked about it, of course, this was blowout material, unfortunately.
Saints,
the game was
that's
over.
A good one.
Jimmy G to me is 2022's Alex Smith. That you know that he's not bad. He's not awful.
He might be a big upgrade for your team.
Yeah, that's right.
The Saints or one of these teams. And the point that Lewis Riddick made was that as we sit here right now, the incoming crop of quarterbacks does not look like it's very promising. So a Russell Wilson, a Jimmy Garoppolo, some of these other quarterbacks that might be available, they're going to be pretty popular. They're going to get a lot of attention.
Sure. I mean, Russell's not the same Russell that he was, but I would still consider Russell Wilson in the elite category just because of what he's done.
Another one. Like, isn't it amazing how people are just like all of a sudden like Russell Wilson's done? Like, who? I've seen people like, oh, I wouldn't want Russell Wilson now. Like, he sucks. It's like, really? You think Russell Wilson sucks? Like, you think that's it? Like, he's hit his proverbial wall? That's it. 33, what is he, 33 years old? I don't know how old he is. I'm going to say
that's about
right. 33, something like that. And, like, he's done? Really?
33?
Or maybe he's done with Pete Carroll.
He just turned 33
okay.
in November.
And I see this. I see it a lot on Twitter, so I understand. It's considered the source. But I see all these people like, I don't want – because I've seen a lot of, you know, because there's a lot of uneasiness in Cleveland. And I saw a guy that covers the Browns tweet out a Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson in a Browns uniform, and you know people were, oh, Russell Wilson, they're 5-11. Who wants him? It's like, really? that's all you got? That's your counter? Look at their record this year. Well, why don't you look at his record, his entire NFL career? I mean, I think this offseason is going to be interesting. It was uneventful this past offseason. Unlike the previous year, I think we may see the previous year this offseason. You guys agree? Because I think Russell Wilson's on the move. I think Deshaun Watson's on the move. Jimmy Garoppolo's on the move. I think we're going to see the quarterback shuffle again of 2 years ago.
Rodgers could be. I mean,
that's another X factor.
Could be.
For sure.
Yep.
He could be. But, I mean, if you're a team, like, name a team that you think that they could win, they just need the quarterback.
Well, it's the Rams with Stafford, right? They jumped in and
they
paid a
it.
Pretty
yep.
hefty price to get him, but they put themselves in position here. They might be good enough.
Would Pittsburgh take Jimmy G?
Well, like Pittsburgh is absolutely – like, they got to move on from Roethlisberger. Like,
they
this
are.
Has,
they're
like,
moving
even
on.
If Ben says, you know what, I feel it one more year, they're like, Ben, we love you, man, but it's –
he's
on,
done.
Man.
He's got to
retire.
He's done. He needs to be. And, you know, unless he wants to go be a backup somewhere, which I don't – but Pittsburgh would be one. The Saints would be one.
Saints,
Broncos,
Steelers are
Broncos
two teams.
For sure.
Broncos. Those are three teams that are missing an upgrade, a much better upgrade at quarterback, and they're right there in the thick of things with everybody else. They're a playoff team.
Totally agree. I mean – I don't put Carolina in the same breath, but they need a quarterback.
Well, they tried this last year.
They've tried this the last couple of years. They've tried this with
Bridgewater and then Darnold.
And then trying to resurrect Cam. So it just
came full circle. Didn't work very well.
And here's the other thing. If Russell leaves Seattle, you know, what are they going to do? Like, they need a quarterback. They're going to ride Geno Smith for a year? So the shuffle could be
all
interesting.
All good questions.
I'm trying to think, is there any other – Atlanta's getting close, right?
Yeah, but Atlanta has other issues.
I know. But aren't they getting – like, Matt Ryan, I feel like it's starting to wind down, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but I think they're stuck with the contract.
For how long?
Cleveland's going to be another one to watch. What are they going to do?
Because Matt Ryan will be 37 next year. I'll tell you what, it is a mixed bag in Cleveland about Baker Mayfield, and I think it's actually going the other direction. It's going more than it was like 50-50 split. I'm not sure it's 50-50 split anymore. I think the more I read, the more I talk to Browns fans, it sounds like they're kind of ready for a change, and that's fine.
Why,
if you don't think Baker's the guy, but
you spent 20 years trying to find the
guy. You better have the guy. So who's your guy?
It's a tough dilemma. I'm reminded of the clip. I don't know if you guys saw the clip. The guy rattled off every starting quarterback in 30 seconds since 1999. You hear the name.
One of them will be on with us tomorrow.
Yep.
Thursday.
What day is it?
But I can understand when you watch that team. Now, they've had so much thrown at them. The COVID, I felt so bad for them when they lost to the Raiders. They almost pulled it off with a bunch of nobodies, right? And Nick Chubb. They had Nick Chubb and almost nobody else, and they were one stop away from winning and staying in this thing. And then last week, they're right there in Green Bay. They're right there. But Baker Mayfield lost that game for them. I hate to say it. He made some terrible decisions.
Yep. He did.
They easily could have won that game.
But yet, you know, he also drove them down, and they had a chance. You know, they're right there in it.
Then what happened? Right now, you could also debate that was a bad call, that should have been a penalty on the fourth interception, that there was a hold that, you know, Troy Aikman definitely said, to be fair, that was very debatable. But there was a couple other passes in there where he just does that too often. His mechanics are not good. He throws off the back foot. He throws high. Throws into bad situations. It happens too often. He's got to cut down on that.
Real quick.
I wouldn't give up on him, though.
I wouldn't either.
When you look at the horizon, like, somebody might end up with Russell Wilson. Somebody might end up with Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy G. But then after that,
is he going to get
it's
better?
Musical
though?
Chairs. It's like, okay, you
is
might
he got,
not
is
get
he reached
one of those
his tests. Peak, or is he going to get better?
That's the question.
See, if this is what he is, then I would understand that.
I would give it another year.
Well, and he's got a year left on the option. Yeah, I guess
his rookie contract.
Yeah. Another team that I know they've won three in a row, but is Philly set at quarterback long term?
I don't think they are, but I think Hurts, at least
again,
in the last two games, has
he's
done
their best
pretty
option.
Well.
Yeah.
That's right. That's.
But I mean, if
long term, no, probably not.
But what's your alternative? That's the other thing. Like, do you want to maybe get into this game to try to get? Like, if the Broncos were to upgrade, then Bridgewater becomes available. He becomes like the Steve DeBerg of the era, where he just bounces around. Somebody needs a guy that's decent, and Bridgewater is decent.
The guy that's kind of the fringe starter.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I guess, would fit into this equation somewhere, right? Yeah. He just goes where they need. Yeah, the stopgap.
All right, we'll come back. Don't forget David Poyle in about 15 minutes as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.